How do we start these off? Man, I mean,
we kind of just talk and then we have a code open. But we don't have to have a code open. I can.
We're like that Saturday night program.
SNL. Yeah.
Ah, that one. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I like having them.
Ooh. Yeah, I like code opens.
We could be like super meta and talk about having a code open.
I wonder if this is gonna be in the show. Who's to say if you're hearing this or not?
Hey, welcome to I Need an Adult, where growing down is not an option. I'm Kat.
I'm Cher.
And I'm Alex.
And this week we're gonna talk about
finding an apartment.
No one likes it, but you have to have some place that's not a box outside.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Sometimes your apartment is almost as bad as a box outside.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the rodent or insect situation inside, it could be better.
And these are things I've all experienced. So let's get into it.
When did both of you have your first apartments and like where you had to find them yourself?
I was 19. I lived on campus at Michigan State for my first year. And then when I moved back to Chicago, I didn't want to live with my parents anymore. So I figured I will live on my own. And my very first apartment was in Wicker Park in Chicago, and it was next door to the now defunct Double Door. And R.I.P. But also fuck Double Door, because
yeah, R.I.P. the nice experiences. Yeah.
But also I shared a wall with the Double Door, and it was a sublease. It was for the summer, and you know. Again, I was 19 years old, and I didn't realize that like $650 for a 1.5-bedroom was a total steal for a reason. it's because you know, after 9 o'clock p.m., it got so loud I could hear the banter on stage. So it was for somebody who worked nights who would not be in the apartment during the evening hours, and unfortunately, I was a undergrad student who had to study a lot. So yeah, that was my first apartment, and I found it on Craigslist. What about you guys?
Well, I feel like I have like two separate experiences. I also did the summer sublease thing, because one summer, as I mentioned in a previous episode, I didn't like my mom telling me I couldn't leave at midnight.
Facts.
So I was just like, the summer that I turned 21, I was like, hey, mom, I'm just going to sublet a place and just like, I'm coming back to Chicago, but I'm not going to stay with you. I'm just going to sublet and stay there. And my mom freaked the fuck out about it. Like, she was like not pleased about it. And obviously I also found it on Craigslist, because I don't know where else to go to like get subleases and shit. And I was like near the UIC campus, but like on Western. And it was like an interesting experience. So
were you like in Little Village, or were you in Pilsen?
'Cause I feel like I was kind of near between Taylor Street. I was like right off of Taylor and Western. So the girl thought that like she could be like super clever and like charge me a little extra. And
strike one.
Right. And it's just like, no, babe, I'm not that dumb. You're gonna and I
damn right.
And it really worked out in my favor, because then like I didn't have to like pay as much later on. It was the whole thing. I told my mom about the situation, and she was like, "What? Okay, you should just move back home. It's time to come back home."
Oh.
And I was like, "No. I am almost an adult. I think I can handle some girl trying to swindle me."
That's amazing.
I got this, mom. I got this.
And so any minor mishap, like the washing machine wasn't working, it was like a light went out. My mom's like, "Time to move home. Come on, come on." And I was just like, you do know once I leave college next year, I'm never coming back home, right? And so that I think that's like when it finally sunk in to my mom, because I have not returned back home. I mean, I go to visit, but I haven't lived with my mom since I was 20.
Yeah, because I lived at home. Yeah, I went to school and I was 17 when I went off to school. So I pretty much haven't lived with my parents since I was 17. There was a brief period when I lived there, like when I came back from Michigan State. But I don't think it was like maybe a month or two mm-hmm. before I moved out again. But yeah, didn't spend much time at home. What about you, Alex?
I think the first apartment, and that's the thing. I didn't really find it on my own because I lived on campus for the first 3 years of school, and then
nice.
Yeah, and it was just super convenient. And then I happened to be privileged enough to have grandparents who owned a condo downtown, very close to where I went to school. So nice. And luxury. they live in Florida during the winter, so that worked out well. When my senior year of college, one of my best friends was actually going to come to grad school for Chicago. So like, and we've not lived together, but we spent like so much time together in high school. We're like, we can like, even if it destroys our friendship, like whatever, it's been long enough. so we did not go about this well. His dad was very much like, we're gonna go to a broker, we're gonna do it this way. And it was kind of like out of my hands, and sure. I was just like along for the ride. I'm like, okay, fine, all right. And the apartment was like beautiful, but a little asterisk here, it was literally, if you have been to Wrigley Field and you go to that, you know, the little I almost called it a bodega. Oh good god, I'm not fucking from New York. The little like convenient, it's like a liquor store, there's PBR on the side of that building, right before the Red Line, or the Addison stop. We were the second house, so all Cubs all the time. We were in the heart of Wrigleyville. Like, it was great because if you just went a little bit to northeast, it's like, yeah, all the gays. And I was very happy and very at home. But, oh, man, wow. But the first time I went to find, like, my own apartment, I went through Domu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I tried Craigslist, and it was just...
Ugh. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Why it's like that.
Yeah. For sure. And Domu, like some people are leasing their own places. Some people are like real estate broker firms. And I just, it was a crazy shit show. My wife and I remember. I remember like week after every Saturday going to visit tons and tons of places. And then we found the apartment that we're in now, and it was going to be one of those, it was going to be a sublet, and then we would take over the lease. But the guy wanted to move out in the middle of the month, and we're like, okay, that's cool. And I was like, listen, at this point I was sort of losing my mind. I'm like, listen, how can I get this apartment? And he's like, well, I mean, there's a couple more people looking at it, but you know, I should let you know by the end of the day. And I sort of lost my mind at that point. I'm like, I will write you a check for the entire month's rent and you will not have to pay. That is how desperate I was. I paid off a man more money than I should. It was more than the security deposit. Did I pay a security deposit? I don't know.
We'll find out when you go into it.
Well, one day I'll find out, I guess.
Oh no.
And it was like, and he's like, all right, it's yours. And that's how I found my apartment, because I had extra cash to burn because, oh, I forgot. I was very briefly living with my aunt in Bridgeport. Not briefly, it was like a year. only because.
Just a small blip.
Just a little bit blip. Graduated. And then we were, the office that we're at now, we were still at our previous office. So it didn't make sense for me to put roots down, I guess. So it was like, I was again, so much of my living situation has to do with privilege. So my girlfriend and I lived with my aunt in this gigantic house in Bridgeport, and we were like never there because I was working all the time. And then it got to the point where it's like, okay, now the 2-hour commutes are kind of getting to me, so let's do this shit. And then I put cash into a man's hand for the first and only time in my entire life. Felt like I was doing a drug deal.
Ugh. In a way you were.
Yeah, turns out neighbors downstairs were drug dealers and were just evicted. Anyway, do you want to tell me about leasing on Craigslist?
Yeah, and how it's like a hellscape. Because there are things called scams. You gotta be careful about the scam.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not been victim of the scam, but I almost was. Almost was. So... Oof. Yeah. So this happened in New York, actually. So
oh, no.
I think I'm the only person here who's lived outside of Illinois. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So New York is a different animal just because the vacancy rate is very low. Mm-hmm. And then of course population is super dense. So you are all vying for the same apartment. Like on any given day, there are 50 people applying for the same apartment you are. So it's very competitive. If you want an apartment, you basically have to have a check in hand, and it's very intense. So
So what I did is normal in New York.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's very normal. Like that didn't shock me. That story you told me, like, that's any day in New York, especially in Brooklyn, especially in Williamsburg.
My guy was shocked.
Probably because he wasn't used to having somebody competitive here, because it's not that.
Also, a woman being like, "I'm gonna get this shit done." Anyway.
Woman with agency? The nerve.
What?
Preposterous. Anyway, so I was going with that story. Oh, anyway, so it was 2013. I was out there and I had I was in the Bronx because I was trying to look for a place in Manhattan. I was staying with a family friend and it was fine. The Bronx is cool. Shout out to the Bronx. I really liked that area, but it was really far from my school, NYU. I pretty much had to like travel the entire length of Manhattan to get a school.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was horrible. And I was like, okay, I can only do this for so long. And I found a really great like sublease apartment in Murray Hill, which is it's close to NYU's campus by like, I don't know. It's like almost in the middle of the city. It's like not, it's close to like Midtown, but not too close where you don't have to get all the tourist attraction. Anyway, it was a pretty decent deal for the area. I was like, okay, cool. So I looked at the apartment and I got accepted. It's like, this is gonna be great. And I was on my way to the bank to get my check when I got a weird message about like, it was like a blast. I thought it was a spam message, but it was a blast message to multiple people saying like, if you got your apartment, blah 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 blah,
oh
then this
God.
Is a scam. Please let us know if you sent the money. Call us at this number. So I called the number. I was like, hi, hello, blah blah. Like, and I told my name. Like, yes, I see your name here. Yeah, this apartment, because it was actually the police department. It was like a detective who apparently had like was on the like on the case for this, like,
oh,
yeah, someone had
York.
Like was and it was seven other people who had gotten quote unquote got this apartment.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that was horrible. I'm glad I didn't get my money because apparently people were like in litigation for a couple of years to get their money back. So fortunately I dodged a bullet there. But yeah, Craigslist is a scam to the most part. I will not recommend that for especially now. I think when I was coming up, at least when I first started out looking for an apartment in 2007, 2008, it was not as bad. I think just because like there were still things like, you know, actual paper classifieds.
Yeah.
And you can like look at an apartment there, and that is like non-existence now. So Craigslist essentially is a classifieds, but they're mostly trash now. And there wasn't as many apartment finder website as there is now. So long story short, get somebody who, like, I mean, I wouldn't recommend a broker because sometimes some of them are jerks because I've had some really terrible experiences in the city.
They're rough.
They are rough, but I also would not recommend going through Craigslist.
especially in New York City. And also, like, a broker situation in New York is crazy because you will have to pay, like, basically 3 months rent up front. You have to have the broker fee, your first month's rent, and your last month's rent before you even get the keys.
Wow. All of the brokers I've been to in Chicago are basically like...
they get paid by the landlord.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, not New York.
Oh, my God. What a trash city. You have a trash city, New York. Yeah. There's literally trash littering your seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... I never had to do that, but I know friends who, like... you know, easily just hand over $3,000.
Oh my good and you haven't Lord.
And you haven't even gotten the keys yet.
Right.
No wonder Barbara from Shark Tank made so much money. Good God.
And then also there's an application fee. And the application fee is like...
well, that's normal in Chicago.
Yeah,
too,
but
right?
like it's a minimum $100.
Oh God.
So
wow.
Like, and that's money you'll never get back. And then, so like they, and also like just getting an apartment in New York, just getting approved, they need like the last 2 years worth of pay stubs and like your tax forms. And like some apartments want you to have like a letter of recommendation, like not even kidding. It's like it's easier for you to get into fucking Harvard than it is to get an apartment in New York City. I swear to God. Like, it's like, do you want like my ancestry too? Do you want like my family tree? Do you want my blood type? Do you need my hair sample?
Like, do you plasma?
Yeah, exactly. Do you want my firstborn? Like, I don't know what you want, fucking want from me. And I just, so like, I never had an apartment, never signed a lease in New York. I was there for 2.5 years and I just subleased because I just could not fucking handle the pressure. And when I got the great apartment I did in Harlem eventually, I never was on the lease. So it was like, I was always like terrified. Like, I could get thrown out literally any time because my name's not on this lease. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like as an occupant at most. And I was like, well, you know, fuck it. I just like, it's better than doing that than like actually, you know, going through all this trauma of trying to get an apartment and then get denied. So I just, you know, kind of loved my life on the seat of my pants out there. So,
Let us know if you're from, like, you're trying to find a place, like, New York, as much as I shit on New York, like, I've it's even worse in Silicon Valley. Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's like what I want to go to as well.
Yeah. And so I have friends who are like almost basically millionaires. Like, they are, and it's not even that, like, they just can't find a place to like give someone millions of dollars to, and they've been like evicted because they've been like scammed and they've technically been squatting in an area. Mm. So it's like this is such a, oh man.
And also, I think
no wonder millennials aren't, oh.
We live in a gig economy. Alex, gig economy. But I also think, especially with like San Francisco, I'm not sure if the laws have changed, but landlords can like up the rent so astronomically. Like, I remember reading about this maybe last year where there was an apartment in the Mission. And I think it was like maybe it was like a 2.5 bedroom apartment for like, I think, $2,000. And they were able to raise the rent almost 900%. What? Because it went up from like $2,000 to like almost $7,000. Something like absurd like that. And there was nothing that the tenants can do about it because landlords basically can do whatever the fuck they want out here. Mm-hmm. Illinois is technically one of those states too. So... when you guys are negotiating leases, I don't know, pay your rent on time so you don't get a landlord who wants to like up your rent, because there's no like leeway of how much they can raise your rent. They can raise it up 100%, they raise it up 400%. So like, be careful, guys, out there in the Chicagoland area or in Illinois state. So I'm not sure. I know New York, they have limits and caps, but to a certain extent, not everywhere. But I know San Francisco is like, that's why so many people can't rent there, because the landlords are just like doing whatever they want with the rates. It's really incredible.
Do either of you have suggestions or tips on negotiating rent raises? Like, I always felt like that was just sort of a non, like when my rent is raised periodically, like every year, and I just sort of take it. I'm like, okay.
I was in a position, So I lived in one apartment for 5 years. It was the longest apartment. I lived outside my parents' home, and mm-hmm. it was in the uptown neighborhood of Chicago. I loved that apartment so much, mostly because my landlord lived in Atlanta and didn't know how much this apartment was worth. And so I was, we low key gouged him for like so much money. We could have easily paid like $2,100 for that 3.5-bedroom, 1,600 square feet. We had a gazebo at one point in our backyard.
It was what?
Like, we had a garage with like a parking spot. We had a free one in the front. And then he redesigned it when the gazebo wood rotted, and then he put a fucking fire pit in our backyard. Like, it was obscene.
Yes.
I had a fucking sunroom, and I was 21 years old. It was
what?
It was irresponsible. And I paid $1,500 for the whole thing.
Oh my god, so I just threw up in my mouth.
I know. It was fantastic. And I paid that same amount the entire time we lived there. Actually, that's a lie. It was when we first moved there, it was $1,575. And then we negotiated because we had four people living there the first year. So we were paying like $400-something a month. But then when that fourth person left, which was three of us, there we actually negotiated him down to $1,500. because we actually, like, this is how we did it. We were like, well, there's not as many people in the apartment now. And that person who had she had a lot of animals. She had like a hedgehog, mm-hmm. she had a ferret, and she also had a cat. We kept the cat when she left. Facts. She moved to London, and we kept the cat. We're like, you're not coming for this cat. I'll keep it. Anyway, he liked me more. Shout out to Mason, who was the best cat ever. But we were going to negotiate because I felt like with her being there with all the other animals, it was like less of a cleanup fee he had to deal with. And it was through students, and we were able to just negotiate him down. And we also helped out with like some outdoor landscaping stuff. Like if they needed shoveling done, we would do that. We did some like light maintenance, but that's where I was able to negotiate our rent down from $75 a month. So we were saving him money that he had a guy on retainer that he had come in for like, you know, actual maintenance work, but for little things like raking leaves or sweeping the driveway, we did that and was able to knock off stuff.
Oh,
so
nice.
So like we were also in a situation where we lived in a three flat. So that's not everybody's story. Some people live in like high rises, or like I live in a high rise now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't do that. That's not negotiable anymore. But we lived in kind of like a neighborhood resident area, so like it was very homey. There was a lot of houses there, and we were one of the few places on the block that had like an actual like building. So as far as like negotiating, if that's available to you, if you can like do like some like maintenance work or make it easier for your landlord to take care of the property, you can up your value as a tenant as opposed to upping the apartment value, that you are like more valuable because you're a reliable tenant as far as paying your money on time. Like, don't if you have like the grace period, never pay during that grace period, always pay on the first, like things like that. Like, I know things come up and you can't always pay on the first, but just making yourself more valuable is always a good way to be as far as like trying to negotiate when rent comes up. At least that's my experience in that way. What about you guys?
That's like pretty rock solid advice. I like moved around a lot. I never really stayed in one place for more than a year, but my last apartment, we stayed for 2 years, and it was it's in Wicker Park, like a block from the park. It's really beautiful. It was this beautiful, like, quote unquote, two bedroom. I thought he was being generous calling it a two bedroom.
It was like 1.5-bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, one was like an office.
Yeah, yeah, that, love that half bedroom.
Yeah, it's like, bitch, it's in the closet. It's just right. A big ass room.
Right. It was just like this like great apartment. He like inherited the building from his mom, and he's like kind of this like old cranky Ukrainian guy. And so he had this whole thing where he would never raise the rent. The person who lived downstairs for me had been like paying the same amount of rent for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And like rent controlled. That's awesome.
She moved away to a farm, got married, had a baby. Then they came back to the city while their farmhouse got renovated. I know. It was
the
it was
luxury. Like, oh, that's, I know. That sounds so pretentious in the best way.
Yeah.
It was and like, he was, yeah, my farmhouse is getting renovated. Oh, gosh.
I mean, like, I'm not, like, telling you to take advantage of, like, old people, but I think that they could be more generous or just, like, because he, like, he said to me, he's just like, man, as soon as she moves out, I'm going to raise the rent. And it was just like, you could have done that 5 years ago. 4 years ago. You could have done that at any time. I don't understand. And when we first moved in, so I'm going to say I actually had a lot of wonderful Craigslist apartment finding experiences. And I found like this place and I saw that he had two ads up, one for like $1,800, one for $1,900. And so when we were like, okay, yeah, we want this place and we saw it, he was like, okay, it'll be $1,900. And I was like, no, it won't be. I saw one for $1,800.
Yes, queen. Yes, queen.
And so we'll take it for $1,800 and we're going to move in on the 15th.
Yes, queen.
Yes. Holy shit.
And then he was just like, oh,
well, holy okay. shit.
So I want you to always be there when I get an apartment.
Oh my God.
So I don't know who to talk to. I'm just like, make your hustle home. You should like benefit the landlord. No, fuck that. You tell the landlord what to do. Yes. Right. Gosh, I'm basically giving like slave wages and you're over here like telling, yes, I love it. Damn. I feel kind of cheated now.
That's amazing.
That's so rad.
Well, like if you can usually tell if someone's like kind of a pushover. And I fortunately / unfortunately have a dominant personality. And so I was just like.
Fortunately.
I mean, that is a plus column for sure.
Like, Adam, we're not doing it this way.
Awesome.
And he agreed and complied. And
yeah, I mean, like.
I think he like low-key was afraid of me. But I had a crush on my mom, which was mad creepy.
Wow, there's so many layers.
There's so many. Like, just comes unraveling. I love it. Right. I love it. There's so much to this. Wow. Yeah, that's really fascinating. Yeah, I mean, going back to like Craigslist, I think the worst times I had for Craigslist was outside of Chicago. All my experiences inside Chicago for Craigslist have been pretty lovely. Mm-hmm. Sans my first experience with the double door, and actually the apartment itself was great. It just sucks that like the location was right next door to double door and the loud punk rock music. But eventually I did become friends with like the door guys, and so like whenever there was a show that I really wanted to go to, he was mm-hmm. like, let me know, because he would see me all the time. He was like, that kind of sucks, you live right next door to this, but like let me know and I can like get you in.
Nice.
Like I got to see the National at double door.
Dang.
So like
killing it.
I had the plug. So, you know, it had every apartment that I've had its perks, but it was always a shitstorm living outside of Chicago with Craigslist because just because of the different dynamics and the politics of every city, there's a different kind of just mentality. And it was just like always a shitstorm of like what's going to happen next. Like, when I lived on the West Coast, I was completely just, I didn't know what to do. And so I eventually found a place through a family friend and I didn't have to like go on it. But I think I went into like 30, and that's not an exaggeration. Like I went on a like 2 week like trek of just looking for apartments every day, seeing like 2 to 3, and it was horrible. And Craigslist is just wild out there. But I don't know. What about you, Alex? I know you said most of your privilege was like, most of your privilege, but like
yeah,
what's your like, you have any other Craigslist experiences?
No, zero, never been a, I just, well, that's the thing, going to Craigslist, I don't know, it's just like my wife and I, and we're like, I don't know. I found Domu really helpful, and
I like Zillow.
That wasn't super great in Chicago until recently.
Yeah, it's gotten way better.
Yeah, I actually have some renting insurance advice.
Ooh, yeah.
Misspoke. In my head, I keep hearing Dumbledore is Dumbledore now, so my brain is in a little bit of a wonky place. I'm wondering if either of you have advice about renter's insurance and what happens when your apartment is broken into. Because a couple days ago, it's Tuesday. Yes. my apartment, luckily my apartment was not broken into. Supposedly our garage door was left open, and my car was broken into, and we have one of those three-car garages that, like, all the tenants share. Like, we pay a monthly fee if you want to have a garage space. And right now there's only two of us using it, and this guy's bike got stolen. My car window was smashed in, and a bunch of stuff was stolen from the back. Yeah, bummer. But my car insurance is going to pay, like, for the car. No, but I mean, it sucks, and hopefully all of my stuff is going to be paid for through renter's insurance. But this dude, you guys, he is one of those, like, hashtag Blue Lives Matter guys in that we literally on our building, he has put a canvas flag, like, not made of canvas, but like an actual, like, canvas looking painting flag with a, like, blue police stripe that says on the bottom Blue Lives Matter on the wall of the outside of our building. And so the thing is, there's no
people, like, if they sit on the street, they, like, figured, like, you have some ownership of that or some shit like that.
Cher, I'm terrified of him. I've, like, okay. I'm so scared of him.
So you're not Catherine. Got it.
Like, this man could lift me up, throw me across. He's already, like, tolerating the two lesbians. Like, I don't want to push it. Yikes. So our landlord, we get an email at, like, 6 a.m. Hey, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It seems like your garage door was open overnight. And so immediately, then Mel and I, like, rush downstairs. But our garage door isn't open. Blue Lives Matter boys' garage door is open. And then, like, he comes to our door about an hour later. We're back upstairs. And we're like, hey, so what are we going to do about this? And at this point, we don't know that his bike was stolen. And, like, he's like, are you going to pay for my bike? Are you going to pay for the damage done to my dashboard on his car? We saw the dashboard on his car. There was no damage. You know how you, like, kind of scuff a wall occasionally, mm-hmm. and there's a little bit of a thing? Mm-hmm. I went to look at, like, oh, no, let me see your dashboard. And I looked at it, and then I poked it and rubbed it, and then the scratch went away. And yeah. they did not touch his dashboard. And also, the window was broken in a way that it was on his side of the garage. And also, his garage door was open. His garage door was, and I don't know, like, if we are indeed at fault, I would happily pay for this man's stuff, except now I find out that he does not have renter's insurance. Like, my company was like, oh yeah, like, and the lease that we have, it is required that you have renter's insurance. So one, he doesn't have it. Two, my insurance company wants to talk to his, and they're being great. This is a company also that is dealing with, you know, all of the horrific, like, hurricane damage, and is still responding really quickly. And I'm like, wow, what a smooth thing. But I, like, this story is too long. One, what should I approach my landlord and be like, hey, I need to know if our garage door, like, was broken into. I need to know, like, should I ask for, like, a discount on what we're paying for the garage each month, or be like, I need to know that our garage is safe?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Blue Lives Matter should make a police report.
We made a police report. Okay. But just, and even, you know, just for insurance, because it's like, it's a bike in Chicago. One's right. a bike is being stolen. Every time a bike is stolen, an angel gets swings. But how do I deal with this man's supposedly $900 bike that he never rode and I saw in this garage every single day?
It wasn't $900.
It was not a $900 bike. And I've been trying so hard, guys. I've been like, okay, please, like, send me receipts. I'll get you. We'll work this out as soon as possible. You know what? I'll write you a check. And I was telling my mom about this, and she's like, wait, don't write this man a check.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
How do you know?
Yeah. So, like, number one, this is not your problem.
Not your problem whatsoever.
I did indeed leave the garage door open?
Why? But, like, it was his garage door that was open, not yours.
Well, he says that it was ours and that he closed it manually and that he opened his and he was just in his apartment. So there's no proof to anything.
Are there security cameras anywhere in the alley?
No. They wouldn't let me install them. Sorry. Oh. So this is totally he said, she said.
Yeah, exactly. He said, she said. There's no receipts on his end that proves otherwise. So I feel like, in yours has had the most damage. So I
I'm the one with the fucking car broken.
So I feel like at the end of the day, this is not your problem. This is his problem. It's also his problem from not having fucking renter's insurance. Right. What a dumb dick. I'm sorry. I don't know person, but he's dumb. If you live in a city of any kind of size, not have fucking renter's insurance, especially for things if you're gonna have things outside of your fucking home. You get renter's insurance for it. That's just what you do. If you have a car, if you have a bike, you get some insurance on it. So just in case of something like this happens and you're not actively looking at it all the time, that you will be able to protect it. I think the only time in your, I don't know, it's not your fucking problem.
No,
so
Schwinn bike is $900,
no,
guys.
It's not. Okay, number one, Schwinn is not even that good of a bike. So
your Target mountain bike is not $100, not $900, dude.
The most you can spend on a Schwinn bike is $7 at most. So number one is a fucking liar.
I kind of feel bad that I've never had renter's insurance, but I've never had anything worth stealing. So
I had not had renter's insurance until, honestly, I would not have it if it wasn't required for my lease, because I'm the same way of the most valuable thing I have is my laptop, and that's through work and it's insured. So
word. Yeah. I got renter's insurance when a friend of mine's house caught on fire, and I was I don't want that happening to me. Mm-hmm. Even though most of my things cost, roughly $7 altogether. and my computer's always on my person. It's mostly just in case if I had something insured, I have it there, but I got it because I was freaking out. And it was also for the insurance I have, it's $15 a month. It's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, super affordable.
And I think that's what's so great about renter's insurance, and I highly recommend it, is that it's super cheap, especially if you already have a car insurance. It can bundle it, and it's so cheap. I think the most you can spend on renter's insurance is $30 a month, and it is a lifesaver. So highly recommend everyone getting that.
I take it back. You know what? I would have renter's insurance even if it wasn't required, because why not?
Yeah.
I you said, I think mine is $15 a month, and car insurance is required in Illinois, and it's bundled, and it's great.
Yeah, and honestly, I forget about it until you need it. And so one of those things, just you're really happy to have it. So, I guess it's not really about renting, but you own your own home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so before, when was the decision? When was that moment where you're like, you know what, fuck this, I'm not renting anymore?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So the aforementioned landlord, since he knew that I could outtalk him, he would get low key passive aggressive with me, and I was just like, come on, man. And so after 2 years, he was so freaking annoying, and his dog is ugly and weird, and I feel bad saying that about a dog.
You know, honestly,
but it bit my dog, and Daisy can just
fuck that.
Get.
I love that you're name dropping the dog.
Right.
Fuck you, Daisy.
Then Daisy.
I hate, okay, this is a total tangent, but I also hate dogs who are ugly as fuck and have the best names. I hate it.
What?
I know that's
an adult and rational opinion you got there.
Yep. It's my truth. but yeah, so I know that means that it's a total tangent. Anyway, go back to what you're saying. Okay. Sorry.
He just he was kind of a hot mess of a human being, and he would try to blame us for his shoddy work. So one day he replaced the toilet, and there was a leak because he doesn't know how to replace toilets. And he was the apartment, we were on the third floor of the apartment below us, he was remodeling or what the fuck ever. And so he was I saw that there was a leak. There's a leak on this wall where our bathroom is or whatever. And this is what he literally said to me, where I just had to just really compose myself. He was so he looks at our toilet, he sees that there's no water, and he's just well, are you sure that Sam isn't just missing the toilet when he's peeing? And I was what?
That's a bold ass statement.
One, this man is 30 years old. I think he knows how to piss in a bowl. Two, why? How? I the bathroom would smell completely like piss all of the time. There's just like there's so many layers, and you just need to blame your shoddy plumbing. And plus, this building is like pretty old. And I don't know when was the last time you replaced the pipe. So don't you ever think, don't ever accuse my husband of pissing all over the bathroom wall. That infuriates me.
Oh my God.
That absolutely infuriates me. So I was just like, okay, nope. We're done. And then like also, it was a year after our wedding. And so we had like, we were able to like save some money up. And we were just like, yeah, it's time to, oh, I was like really kind of casual about it. I was like, hey, Sam, I think maybe we should just like buy a home. Look, we can get one for almost how of like almost the same amount as what we're paying in rent or less. And then he like did the numbers, and then he goes down like this Google black hole like he tends to do. And he's like, you're right, we can. Okay. And so then next thing I know, I get to like, I like do all the work, and he handles all the financial stuff, and it's just like,
it's lit.
It's, yeah, it was wonderful. We found our condo in 2 weeks. It was the first day it was on the market, and I like text my real estate agent. I was like, we're seeing it right now. I don't like,
okay, again, I have to reiterate, I want you with any kind of negotiation, any kind of like, oh, I just need to have Catherine in my back pocket, because like, it's just like, I feel like you just get shit done immediately. Yeah. Like we don't have time to do like, discussions. Let's just get it done. Gosh.
Well, it's just, it's like we're in the Wicker Park Ukrainian Village area. And this place has 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms.
What?
And it's like down the street from Happy Village.
What? I love the place.
And I was like,
party at Catherine's house. Yeah. Do you need a roommate? You have 3 bedrooms, right?
And I was just like, this will be mine. I'm not going to be in another bidding war. I'm not doing this shit again. So, like, we immediately put in an offer. And then next thing you know, like, well, after a little back and forth negotiation, that we like, got the condo. And we're just like, it was a very long process. Bit of a financial strain and, like, the upfront costs and, like, the down payment and the fees and the closing and all that, but totally worth it. Like, I don't have to like talk to other people about the property. Like, I have to talk to the HOA, like members of my HOA, but I don't have to talk to a landlord. I own it. I just feel so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You have given me so much like courage, and I'm definitely not going to buy a house anytime soon, but you make me feel like maybe one day if I channel my inner Catherine, give me this fucking house. Here's the money. It's mine now.
I mean, I'm not going to have an inner Catherine. I'm going to have actual Catherine.
Yes.
I was like, so here's a little payment for you. Right. Sliding over some cash. Like, so I need you to, like, you know, play boss lady for me for like 10 minutes just to, like, you know, negotiate my way into this apartment. Because, yeah, beautiful. So any last minute guidance and advice about apartment stuff and apartment finding?
I would love to just hear people's stories, and they can tweet at us at
I Need an Adult Pod.
Yes, please.
Yes. And so send your like landlord horror stories, your roommate horror stories, because those are just,
oh yeah, we should definitely have a roommate episode.
Because I thought about having that here, but no, definitely a whole episode dedicated to that. And if we like what you hear, we'll have it on the show.
Yeah.
So that is it. That's a wrap. I want to thank Some Office for the equipment and the facilities. I want to give a huge shout out to Post Loudness, a collective independent audio shows with people of color, women, and queer-identified hosts. You can find out more about that at postloudness.com. Give a huge shout out to my co-host.
Okay, thanks.
Why, hello there.
Shout out to you, too.
Shout out to me.
Shout out to me, the best.
You can follow us on Twitter at I Need an Adult Pod. You can like us on Facebook, I Need an Adult Podcast. And we're on Instagram, I Need an Adult Pod. And Claire Friedman made our incredible show art.
Oh, I love it so much.
It's so good, guys. You should hire her for all the things. And we'll be back next week. But until then,
don't forget, read a new book.
post loudness. Audio.